Ever feel like, real life is just way more intense than any story you could make up?
Totally.
Today's deep dive is about to prove that point for sure.
Yeah.
We're diving into this manuscript called, get this, Rick Pape, The Courageous Lion's Journey Through the Shadows and Into Light.
Wow.
And honestly, it's not just a catchy title, it's like the perfect description of this guy's life.
I was gonna say, that's a roadmap right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, are you ready to unpack this journey?
I am so ready. Let's do it.
Okay, good. Because what I found really interesting about this manuscript is it doesn't shy away from like the hard stuff, you know?
No, it really doesn't. And that's what makes it so different. Most stories, they kind of gloss over those raw, vulnerable moments.
Exactly.
But this is the real deal.
Yeah, for sure.
It's raw, it's honest, and I think that's why it resonates so strongly.
And that's what we're all about here on the Deep Dives.
100%.
So let's get into it. Set the scene for us. Who is Rick Pape before this whole journey thing even begins?
Okay, so imagine this. You've got this guy, hardworking, juggling a business,
Relatable.
right? Juggling a business, family life. He's described as someone who like craved order,
Really?
Yeah, like even in something as simple as cleaning the windows on his deck.
Okay. I
And
mean,
like everything had to be just so,
interesting.
it's almost like that need for control,
Yeah.
It's almost like it foreshadows what's coming
Okay,
next.
I see what you're putting down here. So this deck cleaning, it doesn't just end with sparkling windows, does it? This is where the fall comes in, right?
You could say that again.
Okay, so walk us through it.
Okay, so picture this. He's up on this deck, and it's not just like a trip and a stumble. We're
Right.
talking a fall,
Yeah.
a serious fall. We're talking skull fracture, brain bleeding,
Oh,
like
wow.
the kind of accident where even the doctors are like, this is bad.
Yeah, you're listening to this thinking, okay, that's awful. It's hard to wrap your head around the impact. What does that kind of injury even do to someone?
It's almost like you wake up and your world is completely scrambled,
It's unscrambled.
Like memory's fuzzy, everything feels off.
Yeah.
You're trying to piece together a life that suddenly feels completely foreign.
Wow. And through all of that, he doesn't just give up.
No, not at all. And honestly, that's a testament to his determination, because I can't even imagine trying to navigate that kind of recovery.
It makes you wonder what's going on behind the scenes, right? Like, what's that recovery process even like?
Right, exactly. And that's what the manuscript dives into, and it's really eye-opening.
Okay, so what did you learn?
So there's this part where he talks about how isolating brain injuries can be.
Isolating.
Yeah, because people see you, right? They see you physically there, but the you they knew before, gone, he's different, and it's like no one gets it.
It's got to be tough. Almost like he's leading this double life.
Exactly. It's like he's carrying around this invisible weight.
And no one can see it.
No one can see it, no one understands it, and it leads to all these misunderstandings, awkwardness, this deep loneliness.
Wow. And he's going through all of this while trying to run a
Well,
business.
yeah, he jumps right back into it.
Wow.
Can you imagine, though, attending client meetings, trying to close deals, and you're battling nausea, disorientation?
Just trying to appear normal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's even this part where he talks about collapsing in public,
No
and
way.
people totally misinterpret it.
Of course, assuming it's something else
Oh,
entirely,
it's
it
sad.
makes you realize how much we take our health for granted.
Oh, all the time, all the time. And it makes you understand why someone in his position might turn to, coping mechanism.
Sure, even if they're not the healthiest choices.
Exactly.
And that seems to be a recurring theme in his story, right? Coping mechanisms.
Yeah, it's there. Even before the accident, there are hints of a complicated relationship with alcohol. But after the injury, it takes on this whole other life.
Like it goes from 0 to 60.
Yeah, something like that. It's like this vicious cycle, He's pushing himself to succeed at this company, Stratos.
They make commuter jets, right?
Yeah, commuter jets, pulling in a good salary. I mean, we're talking.
The manuscript mentions what, like $300,000, $400,000 a year?
Yeah, something like that. But even with all of that success, the alcohol starts to,
It takes its toll.
it does, it does. It starts to affect his thinking, his work. He describes it as this like brain fog,
Oh, wow.
which, when your entire job relies on sharp thinking and problem solving, that's a huge problem.
Yeah, that's not sustainable.
No, it wasn't. And eventually, it caught up with him. It cost him his job at Stratos.
Wow. So even with this incredible opportunity, the alcohol starts to chip away at everything he's worked so hard for.
It's like watching a train wreck in slow motion, You can see it coming, but you can't stop it.
It makes you wonder, where does he go from there?
It's wild, right? You'd think that hitting rock bottom like that, that'd be the thing that finally makes you turn it all around.
Right, like a wake-up call.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But life doesn't really work that way, does it?
No, not always.
No. So he actually ends up landing this job at Facebook.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Big opportunity handling all these crucial repairs and maintenance for the company.
So he's obviously brilliant at what he does.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, the alcohol, it followed him.
It didn't stop.
Yes.
Even with his amazing job.
Nope. In fact, it got worse.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah. The manuscript specifically mentions vodka being like his go-to during this time.
Wow.
And it's heartbreaking in a way because you can tell this guy, he's smart, he's capable, but the alcohol is like this constant sabotage.
Yeah, that self-sabotage thing, it's like a pattern with some people.
It's like a pattern, exactly.
And it's tough.
It really is.
So what happens? Does he get like help during this time?
There are a few things that happen. Okay.
There's he has a snowplow accident at his house, ends up with a foot injury.
Ouch.
Right. Then he has this bad reaction to some medication he was prescribed.
Oh, yeah.
And it all kind of culminates in, you guessed it, him losing his job at Facebook.
It's like, you want to root for him, but
tough.
It's just one thing after another.
It's like watching that train wreck in slow motion, you know?
Yeah.
But this is where things start to get interesting.
Okay, so tell me there's a turning point here.
There is, but it's not what you'd expect.
Okay.
It all starts in Hawaii.
Hawaii, like a relaxing vacation helps him turn things around?
No, not at all. He talks about this very specific moment, right? Mm-hmm. He's watching someone else, and they're engaging in all this, like, destructive behavior.
Okay.
And it's like a mirror is suddenly held up to his own life.
That's powerful.
Right. And he finally sees himself for maybe what others have been seeing for a while.
It's like that moment of clarity everyone talks about.
Exactly. And that's what makes this manuscript so compelling, you know? He doesn't shy away from those raw, honest moments.
So he has this realization. What happens next? Does he come home, turn his life around? What's the next chapter?
He makes a decision.
Okay.
This time he's done with the alcohol.
Wow, that's huge.
It's a big deal. He finds this company, LifeVantage. They're all about, like, wellness and stuff.
Okay.
And he credits them with helping him clear the brain fog, you know?
He mentioned that before.
And it's like he's finally giving his body and mind a fighting chance.
That's awesome. But what about like the emotional and spiritual side of things? We've talked about the physical stuff, the addiction, but there's got to be more to it than that.
Oh, there is. And that's where this whole courageous lion theme really starts to come through.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
So he returns to Oregon.
Okay.
But it's not about just going back to his old life, you know?
Right.
It's about rebuilding, starting fresh.
Love that.
And a huge part of that is reconnecting with his family.
Of course. Trying to mend those relationships.
Exactly. Because let's face it, addiction, it doesn't just affect you.
It has a ripple effect.
Exactly.
It can be really tough on families.
It really can.
Was there anyone in particular who, like, helped him through this process?
There are a few people, actually. There's Lynn.
Okay.
She's his neighbor. And they start having these deep conversations.
About life. About everything.
Yeah. And for Rick, those conversations, they're like a lifeline.
That's beautiful. Finding support in unexpected places.
Right. And Lynn, she introduces him to Christianity.
So this is where the faith journey really kicks in.
You could say that, although the manuscript, it doesn't portray it as this, like, overnight conversion, you know.
More of a gradual thing.
Exactly.
So what do you think drew him to faith, based on what you've read?
Honestly, I think he was searching for something more.
More than what he had.
Yeah, like, a sense of belonging, you know, purpose. He felt so lost after the accident, so isolated.
Like he was going through the motions, but not really living.
Exactly. And faith, the community he found through it, it helped bridge that gap.
That's really powerful. Finding that sense of belonging when you need it most.
And it wasn't just Lynn who played a role. There was also this guy, Chuck.
Okay. Tell me about Chuck.
So Chuck, he was another HVAC guy like Rick.
Okay.
And he had his own story of like overcoming addiction.
Really? So they had that shared experience.
Exactly. And Chuck, he gave Rick a Bible and was like, hey, you should check out Eastside Baptist Church.
Which is funny because it's not exactly subtle. Really.
No, not at all. But sometimes that's what you need.
To be hit over the head with it.
Sometimes, yeah.
So what was it about that particular church that clicked with Rick?
The manuscript talks about how much the pastor's sermons moved him.
Really? What was it about them?
He really connected with what the pastor had to say. But I think it was more than that, too.
Like what?
the church itself. It was welcoming. The people were kind. Remember how much he craved order?
Right, yeah.
There's a structure to faith and religious practice, right?
Yeah.
And I think that appealed to him. Like, within that structure, he found acceptance, a sense of belonging.
It's like everything he'd been missing just kind of fell into place.
It's like all those pieces that were scattered, his health, his relationships, his sense of self.
They started to come back together.
Exactly. It's not just rebuilding. It's like this whole transformation.
That's amazing. And this whole transformation things.
Yeah.
It wasn't just about like showing up for Sunday service, right? He really dove in, didn't he?
He dove in head first. The manuscript talks about how involved he got in all these church activities.
Like what? Give me an example.
Okay. So he was really into this men's group.
Okay.
Called Men's Roundup in Sweet Home, Oregon.
Men's Roundup. Okay.
Yeah.
What do they, like, wrangle some sense into him?
Something like that, yeah.
I'm kidding.
But it's like he finally found that place, you know?
That place where he belonged.
Exactly. Where he could just be himself.
Scars and all.
Yeah, exactly. And be accepted for it.
That's what it's all about, right? Finding your people.
It really is. And the best part, he didn't stop there.
Okay, tell me more.
So he's so inspired by this men's roundup group.
Yeah.
That he starts thinking, I want to do this for other people.
What?
Yeah. Like, start similar support groups.
That's awesome.
Recognizing, you know, the power of shared experience.
Especially for addiction, recovery, all of that.
Exact.
That's powerful stuff.
Isn't it? It's like he's taking all that pain, everything he went through.
Yeah.
And turning it into something positive.
A beacon of hope for other people.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny. We keep coming back to this whole courageous lion thing.
Right. It's in the title of the manuscript for a reason.
For real.
Yeah.
But this part, this is where it really hit me.
Totally.
Like, he goes from self-preservation to literally wanting to help other people.
It's inspiring, for sure.
It really is.
Oh, and there's this one detail I got to tell you about this.
Okay.
So he's at church, right? And the pastor's giving this sermon about a mission trip to Cuba.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, Rick, he has this, like, spiritual awakening.
Whoa. Like, out of nowhere.
It seems like it's like a wave hit him or something. And he describes it as this incredible feeling of being enveloped in God's forgiveness and love.
Wow. I mean, can you imagine? After everything he had been through.
It's huge, right?
Talk about a turning point. So he goes on this mission trip.
He does. Well, hold on. He almost didn't.
Really? Why not?
He was having second thoughts, you know, like, am I ready for this?
Right.
But that experience during the sermon, it changed everything for him.
Wow. So what does this all mean for those of us listening, going through our own stuff?
That's the big question, isn't it? What can we take away from all of this?
Exactly.
You know, I think Rick's story reminds us that even when things are really, really tough,
mm-hmm.
even when we feel broken, lost,
yeah,
there's always hope.
There's always hope, yeah.
There's always a path forward.
It's just about finding it, right?
It's about finding it. And sometimes it's about letting those falls
yeah.
be the thing that makes us stronger.
I love that. So what would you say to someone who's listening to this right now, feeling lost, maybe?
You're not alone. There's always hope, always a path forward. Sometimes the bravest thing you can do is ask for help. And never, ever underestimate the power of your own courageous lion within.
Beautifully said. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the incredible life of Rick Pape. Remember, your journey is far from over. Keep seeking, keep striving, and never be afraid to let your own light shine.